I'm Farai Chidea, and this is News and Notes. Malcolm Shabazz was just 12 years old when he lit a fire that put him on the wrong side of history. His grandmother was Betty Shabazz, the widow of Malcolm X. She died when the young Malcolm Shabazz burned her home down in 1997. Malcolm Shabazz is now 23 years old. He's been out of prison for a little over a year, and he's decided to tell his side of the story, how his rough childhood spent in and out of mental institutions put him in the mindset to start that fire. Writer Aaliyah King has been in close contact with Shabazz since he was in jail. She stitched their conversations into a three-part series for the new urban news website, news1.com. The first installment goes live on the site today. And Aaliyah joins me now along with News 1 editor-in-chief Smokey Fontaine. Aaliyah, Smokey,
hi, welcome. Hi, how are you?
How are you?
I'm doing great. So, Aaliyah, how did you first get involved with Malcolm Shabazz?
The story was actually born out of a conversation I had with Smokey. I've been writing for him for over 10 years through different publications. And we were talking about doing some long-form research pieces. And one thing that both intrigued us was the story of Malcolm Shabazz. And we had no idea where he could possibly be at that time when we were having this conversation. We didn't know if he was living in Harlem where he had some roots or if he was in prison or what had become of him. So it began with that conversation in Smokey's office and then me sitting in front of my computer trying to figure out where this young man was.
Aaliyah, once you found him, there was no guarantee that he would be willing to talk, but obviously he did. Why do you think he chose to?
That's a really good question, and I have to tell you that right now I'm still not sure, and I still wonder about that every time I talk to him. I put his name in a prison inmate locator just on a whim for New York State, and it came up. Actually, several Malcolm Shabazzes came up, which I thought was interesting, but only one that matched the right birth date. I wrote him a letter asking him if I could meet him, and he wrote me back and said, no, you can't. I want to know who you are. I want to know what you've written, and I want to know why you want to talk to me before I agree to that. So that started about a 2 or 3 month process of me sending him stories that I'd written, some he liked, some he didn't like. And at one point, he finally decided, I'd like you to come up to Attica, which is where he was in prison, and visit me.
What did you find out about how his childhood was spent?
Even before I went to Attica, the research that I found was very troubling. I knew that his mother had suffered from a lot of different illnesses, including substance abuse and possibly some mental problems. I knew he had been shuttled back and forth through Malcolm X's six daughters and with his grandmother, whom he was very close to. So I knew there had not been a lot of stability there. So I knew that his life had not been an easy one.
Smokey, since you came up with the idea of pursuing this story, I want to also mention another case. Earlier this year, we had a man on the program named Khalil Islam. He went to prison for more than 2 decades for murdering Malcolm X, and he maintains his innocence. In reading your piece about Malcolm Shabazz's story, I can't help but get this sense of tragedy that seems to follow the family. Why is this family and their story, including Malcolm's story, important to us still?
Well, I think clearly it starts with the legacy of Malcolm's grandfather, Malcolm X. And you know, in my mind, he still stands as, you know, one of the most, if not the most important kind of African-American leader that this country or even the world has ever seen. And, you know, I was just so fascinated by, you know, what he left behind. He had six daughters, so of course he had no sons. And, you know, even when I was much younger and heard about the tragedy around the death of Betty Shabazz, I was fascinated by what this boy was going through. You know, we think about, you know, the children of either celebrities or the children of politicians, but it seemed that he was in such a peculiar situation because he was the only, you know, he was the only boy and a grandson. His name was Malcolm, and then when he was 10 years old, this awful thing kind of happened to him. And I was always struck by so much of what I felt was the prevailing kind of negative energy towards him, that it seemed almost immediately through the kind of media coverage of the fire that this boy was blamed for being out of control and psychotic. It was even mentioned in the press around the time, and that he was, you know, treated very poorly as a juvenile. And as he grew up, and I knew he was in and out of jail, in and out of juvenile institutions, in and out of group homes, I was fixated in my mind just what he would look like. What would the 20-something-year-old, you know, grandson of Malcolm X look like? And my initial question in my mind was, does he look like his grandfather? And that's the question, you know, Lee and I kind of threw around to each other. And I think, you know, the legacy is so kind of almost frightening, because now he's 23 years old, and the first, you know, his life so far has almost mirrored his grandfather's life, to the point where, you know, they came from disadvantaged and troubled homes and spent a lot of their formative years incarcerated. And the similarities to what that means, you know, 40 years later to have such a similar experience was something that, you know, we're evolving, or Leah's evolving in her relationship with Malcolm over time.
Well, you know, you can see Malcolm Shabazz on the cover of Giant magazine. The full article will be published on your site, newsone.com. Getting back to you, Aaliyah, who is this man today? What kind of vibe did he give you when you walked in to meet him? Is he forgiving of himself, or does he still blame himself?
I asked him that question directly, not when he was in prison, but afterward. We met several times. And I point-blank asked him, have you made your peace with what happened to your grandmother? And he said, with very clear eyes and a very strong demeanor, he said, yes, I have forgiven myself. It was an accident. I did not mean to hurt my grandmother. And I know that for a fact. And he doesn't always speak in those kind of absolutes, but I remember that standing out to me, that this young man who was very young was very clear on that he definitely has forgiven himself, although other people have not.
When you say other people have not, does that include his family?
Yes, unfortunately. I do think that there are some members of his family who have not been able to make their peace with what happened. I mean, Betty Shabazz and Malcolm X had 6 daughters, and they are Malcolm's aunts. And it has to be... it's a tragedy on top of a tragedy. Not only, you know, putting yourself in the aunt's position for a minute, not only did you lose your mother, but it's your nephew who is responsible for this tragedy. So I can imagine that it's very difficult. And I do think there are some of his aunts who have not yet forgiven him.
Smokey, as you continue this new venture, do you plan on doing more stories like this that pull out hidden or unexpected members of the Black community?
Absolutely. I mean, I think it's overdue for us to have an opportunity, and some of your work has really spoken to this, that there are so many stories that are African-American stories but are American stories, and so many figures and identities that I think, you know, are constantly evolving, and to, you know, to find someone that can really teach us a lot about who we are as a culture and who we are as an American society, and in so many angles. I mean, there's the angle of being an incarcerated African-American man and how the kind of penal system has served him or not. You know, the angle of what it means to come from a home that, you know, was very troubled and was, you know, become a victim of kind of, you know, all the things that Aaliyah mentioned, alcoholism and different abuse and mental illness, but also how we treat our own. You know, I mean, the idea to have Malcolm, the grandson, celebrate his father's legacy by dressing up like him was one that I knew would stir up a lot of emotion. You know, and Aaliyah called me on the day of the photo shoot in tears, essentially, when she saw the young Malcolm, you know, put on the blazer and the skinny tie and the fedora, and suddenly it felt like the spirit of his grandfather was in that room. And when we got the photographs back, just even in my magazine office, even some of my younger staff were immediately struck by that image, and some of them started kind of yelling at the computer screen, like, "Oh, he shouldn't do that," and, you know, he's kind of disgracing his grandfather's image. And in conversation with that, it seemed that there was so much, negative energy towards this boy, and he was only a boy, and I feel that's kind of unfair. And what he has said in our article is that if you understood who I am and my story, I think you'd feel about me in a different way.
Well, Smokey, Aaliyah, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Aaliyah King is a contributing writer for the online magazine NewsOne.com. Smokey Fontaine is NewsOne's editor-in-chief. And the first installment of Aaliyah's 3-part series on Malcolm Shabazz post on the site today. Aaliyah and Smokey both join me from our NPR studios in New York.